Matthew chapter 7. As I said earlier, I won't be here next Sunday. We'll not be in Rocky Mount, Virginia. And there will not be a Bible class, just a 10:45 service. Roland Browning will be here from West Virginia, from Dingus, West Virginia, to preach to you. Now, the title of this message is I Never Knew You, or Not Everyone Is Saved Who Claims to Be Saved. This is one of the reasons it's so important to go verse by verse, because we would have a tendency not to deal with these difficult verses. The Sermon on the Mount ends with the greatest warning of all warnings, I believe. I believe in all the Word of God. I believe it ends with the greatest warning of all of them. I don't know about you. I suspect this because you like me. When I read this, it's like when the Lord said to His disciples, one of you will betray me. And you know what they said? Lord, is it I? Is it I? And when I read this, and I listened to my pastor preach an outstanding message here yesterday, I walked around the church and I listened to that message. I Never Knew You, back in the 80s. Sobering. And my thought was, Lord, don't let this be me. Don't let me be one of the many. Don't ever assume when it comes to your salvation, the eternal destiny of your soul, don't ever assume. Follow on to know the Lord. Hunger and thirst after the Lord. Ask Him to make Himself known to you. He that seeks me with all his heart shall find me. That's a promise. And you know what my prayer is? Lord, give me that heart. When I read it, I do pray, Lord, give me that kind of heart. Give me a heart that seeks after you. Give me a heart that hungers and thirsts after you. Give me that heart. It doesn't come from any place else. The heart we are born with is hard. It's hard. It's like as hard as the adamant stone. It's just like flint. It's just like a diamond. It's so hard. Give me a heart of flesh, like he said there, I believe it's in Ezekiel. That means a heart that can feel, a heart that's alive, a heart that's real. Give me that kind of heart to seek you. Don't let me be this way. Do you think this is a good way to end the sermon? The way he ended it, you think it's a good way? Well, consider who gave the sermon. Consider who's giving the sermon. This sermon is being preached by him this morning. He's using me, my voice, but it's his message. It's his word. Now, after he speaks of the straight and narrow way, and few there be, he says, that find it. That's what he said. Let's consider who's giving this. Few there be that find it. And he's the one who ought to know because he knows the heart. He knows the heart. And after warning against these false preachers, these wolves that come in sheep's clothing, our Lord warns against a false profession. Not everyone who says that they are saved are saved. You say, That's so sobering. It is. It is. Now look in verse 21. Not everyone. I underlined that. Not everyone. And Lord, don't let me be one of those everyones. But not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he will enter in. We live in a day of easy believism. We do. We live in a day where there's no real conviction of sin, no real conversion. Just as a man told me yesterday, yeah, I know I'm saved because I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. What's wrong with that statement? Besides everything, here's what's wrong with it. The basis of his salvation was this: I accepted Jesus. There's not a word said about his substitutionary work, his righteousness, his person, his suretyship. Nothing. It was, I accepted him. He said, now I know you believe that he must accept us. You're right. God said he, in Ephesians chapter 1, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He is not in my hands, I'm in his hands. That's the truth. That's the truth. As we live in such a day of repeat a prayer and do this, or just do that. Where's the Holy Spirit conviction at? Where is a real conviction of sin which leads me to a real need of Jesus Christ? That's what leads me to a real need of Christ to save me from my sin. You know, when I really understood the gospel, before I heard the gospel in the power of God's Spirit, I wanted to be saved from hell. That was the sole purpose of me being saved, of getting saved, is not to go to hell. But when I heard the gospel, the sole purpose was for Christ to save me from my sins. That's my problem. My problem is not a place. My problem is a sin nature that I was born with. That's against God. I was born, the scripture says, with enmity. Our minds are at enmity with God. Our minds, we are naturally, you know what that means? We are naturally at war with God. I need God to save me from my natural self. That's what I realized I needed. And that's when I realized that I needed Jesus Christ, because he's able to do it. He's able to save them to the uttermost or the guttermost that come to him, that come to God by him. But we live in a day when it's just repeat a prayer or come up front and everything's okay. You know, the scripture says that you will with much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. That means more than just, you know, you're going to meet with trouble. That's a lot of inward trouble, inward warfare. There's a real tribulation that goes on inside of me, a real warfare with sin that goes on inside. Every child of God, it's a constant struggle to the end. The people he's speaking of here in this verse are very religious. They're very religious, very orthodox, but they're very lost. Look what Paul wrote over in Romans chapter 10. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10. Brethren, first verse, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is the heart of God's preacher right here. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. They would die over what they believe concerning God. They have a zeal of God, but not according to the scriptures. That word, not according to knowledge, is not according to the scriptures. Their zeal, they have a zeal of God, but it's a wrong zeal. You know, a person, you say, well, he's very serious in his religion. Well, he may be serious, but he may be seriously wrong. I don't want to be seriously wrong. Do you? No, you don't. Serious doesn't get it. Listen, they use his name, and we'll see this here in a minute. They use his name over and over. They call him Lord, but they don't know him. They don't know him. This whole conversation I had with this person, it was evident he didn't know. He didn't know the Lord, the one of this Bible. The one of this Bible. Listen in there, Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord and Master, and you don't do a thing I tell you to? But those who do enter in are those who do the Father's will. They do the will of my, he said, of my Father, which is in heaven. Well, what's the will of the Father? Here's the will of the Father. Is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written in John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. Here it is. That everyone which seeth the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. You see, they ask him before this, what must we do to do the works of God? What must we do in order to be saved? We would be accepted of God. And he said, here it is. That you believe on him. You believe him. You trust him. You follow him. Whom the Father has sent. You trust him. He's your life. The people here whom the Lord said he doesn't know them, they didn't know him either. They didn't know him either. Christ was not their life. Paul said, Christ is my life. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. But what is it for me and you to live? It's Christ. There is not a believer that Christ is not their life. He's your life. You know that. You think of him daily. I know you do. I know you do. You seek his will daily. I know you do. Because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit who leads you in that direction. You're not out there walking on your own. You are sealed with God the Holy Spirit who guides and directs you. Christ said he will take the things of mine and show them to you. Not just when you're sitting here, but when you're at home, you're reading the scriptures, or scripture comes to your mind that you've heard, and he gives you an understanding of it. He's guiding you, leading you, teaching you. He doesn't leave his children alone. All thy children shall be taught of God. In verse 22, and many will say to me in that day, what day is he talking about? Judgment day. This is not the day you want to find this out. This is a bad day to find this out. They will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And see if you pick up the problem here in this verse. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? First of all, he says many. In the first question, and this question came up yesterday, how can so many be so wrong? Well, I don't know, but the Lord said many. He said it, I didn't. Many will say to me in that day, many were confessing him, using his name. Many used his name. You see, where God has one preacher, Satan has 1,000, as well as 1,000 false converts. That's what he's saying. This is what he's saying. Let's stay with the Word of God. And here's what they say. They say, Lord, Lord. They call him Lord. How many times you hear these TV preachers? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Well, yes, he is. But not many know him that way. Not many know him. They have a works religion here. And this is what jumped out in that conversation. But listen, they start out with we. We. Boy, they started out with a problem already. We preached in thy name. You know, there was many prophets that went out that preached using his name that he didn't send. He said, I didn't send them. How shall they preach except they be sent? We cast out devils in thy name. Well, they think they did. They think they did. We've done many wonderful works, many charitable works in thy name. You say, you can't condemn that. They busy. Had their programs, yet they didn't know him. This is what he's saying. The church at Ephesus, over in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus was very busy. But you know what the Lord said? He said, you left your first love. You have left your first love. Your heart is not in it no more. Your heart is gone. That heart love for Christ is gone. Satan is very subtle. He's very subtle. He'll cast out his own to promote his agenda. It doesn't matter to him. He's a crook. And if allowed, he can do wonders. They said, we've done many mighty works. He can do wonders. You remember when Moses cast down his rod and it turned into a serpent? Those magicians cast down their rod and they turned into a serpent. Now, Moses' rod ate up theirs, but they did that. They was allowed to do it. You know, God could allow Satan to do, he allowed Satan to make you rich. He could do a lot of things. If he's allowed to. Miracles are not infallible proofs of Christ's presence. You know what the proof of his presence is? The preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the lifting up of Christ and him crucified. That's it. That's how his presence is evidenced. If you'll notice, they only mention what they had done. This is important. They're standing there. This is judgment. Now listen, this is judgment. And they're standing before the judge of the earth. All judgment's been committed to the Son. They're standing before him. This is a real event. Our Lord is speaking something that's very real. And and when they're standing before him, they speak of what they have done, not what he has done. Wouldn't it be very different? Wouldn't it be very different if they had said this, Lord, did you not die for me? Lord, are you not my righteousness? Wouldn't that have been a very different answer? But it was the works that they held up. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. I cannot emphasize that strong enough. I never knew you. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. What your whole works has been full of iniquity. You see, you and I cannot see the motive behind the work. We see the outward. We see the work. God sees the heart. And he judges accordingly. Our Lord will have the last word with no arguments. You notice he doesn't argue with them? You notice that? There's no argument going on here. Ain't no back and forth going on here. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. Just depart. He will strip them of all their falsehood and expose them for who they are. As it's written in Job, they were confounded because they had hoped. Well, the preacher said, if I did this or that. You know, the Lord said about these Pharisees, he said, you compass sea and land, and you make them proselytes, and when you make them a proselyte, you make them twofold a child of hell. Now, what does our Lord mean by "I never knew you"? What does He mean? We know that He's God. We know He knew their existence. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You don't have life. You don't even have physical life apart from Him. You don't have it. In His hand is a breath, it says, of every living human, every living thing. Every living thing. He knew their existence. He knew their lives. He knew them. He had to know them because they are judged out of the books. Look over in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Look in verse 12. In Revelation 20, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." You don't realize your life written in a book, do you? Look over and let me see if I can find this. I think I got it written down. I'll read it to you out of Daniel, because I already got it here. Daniel 7, verse 10. Daniel 7, 10. "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened." The books were opened. If you go to court, in this land, if you committed a crime, you know what? That crime's on the books. If it's not on the books, you ain't going to court. You're not going to go to court. It's not on the books. I told you this story, but I know some of you haven't heard it, but I'm going to tell it again. It's when Henry, when he was a young man, ran a stop sign and hit this couple and did a lot of damage. Well, he was given a court date by the police. You know, the police came and wrote it up, and given a court date. And so he asked his father to go with him. They went to court, and then one after another went before the judge, and at the end of it, the judge asked him why they were there. Henry told him why they were there, and the judge said, "Well, I don't have anything on the books, and there's no police officer here." There was no officer there, that the one that wrote it up. He wasn't there. There was no law officer there. It was not on the books. And he said, "You can go. You can go. But I know this. I know this. There's a book that you're going to be judged out of, the unbeliever, and there's the book of life. And you know what? We are, every one of God's children is in that book of life. And you know what? Their life in that book of life is perfect. Because it's the life of Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the work of Christ. And all your sins are gone. They're not written on the book. You're justified. There's nothing here. But now those who don't believe, every thought, I'm telling you the truth, every thought, every word, this is how in depth God's justice is. Every thought, every word, every action is written in that book. And he said, "You'll be judged according to your works. I never knew you." So it doesn't mean he didn't know they existed. He didn't mean that. And he says, "Depart from me." How terrible will be the day of judgment for all who do not believe on Christ. Depart. But wait a minute. Depart. But depart. I can't even begin to describe the terribleness of that sound. Judgment, what our Lord is saying here also to me, judgment's going to be a day of surprises. But we preached in your name. And they did this all the way to the end. We've cast out devils in your name. Those whom the world thought the most of are cast out into darkness. Go back into that day and time when our Lord was on the earth preaching, walking in the flesh. Go back in that time. Ask any Jew who was going to be in heaven. It was the Pharisee. And he said to those Pharisees, "You're of your father, the devil." And boy, they got mad. The disciples said, "Don't you know you offended them?" Hey, they were born offended. They live offended, they're going to die offended. They're going to stand before God offended. A gospel that doesn't offend is not the gospel. It's not. "And then will I profess unto them," verse 23, "then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." I'm going to tell them to depart. And they're going to depart because I never knew you. I never knew you in a covenant relationship. But now listen, let me wind this down. Our Lord gives us an example of two hearers. There's two types of hearers. There's two types of hearers in this room. There's two types. And he gives us an example of these two hearers, lest some think he's being unjust here. They're thinking, that's unjust. They believed. No, they didn't. He knows the heart. He wouldn't tell a believer to depart. But now listen to these two examples. In Matthew 24, in verse 24, 7:24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," the gospel message, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." The first hearer is like a wise man. This man is a saved man. He's truly a saved man or a saved woman. For he's been made wise by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God. He's been made wise to the gospel. He heard the gospel. He believed the gospel. He's followed on to know the Lord. Christ is his life. And he built his house upon a rock. His confession is real. His faith is real. His repentance is real. Christ was his life. Christ was his life while he was alive. Christ is his life afterwards. Christ is our life. And that rock upon which he built is Christ. Not his profession, but Christ himself. And him crucified. I want you to listen how Luke puts this about this wise man. In Luke 6, 46 and 48. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built an house and dig deep." That's what Luke says. He dig deep. What did he dig deep at? He dig deep in the Word of God. He dig deep in his soul. Searching with all his heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word of God. "Lord, make yourself known to me." I'm not going to read the Bible just so I can say I read the Bible through. I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for the Lord. He dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock because the rock is deep in the Word of God. He's in this Word. "You search the Scriptures," he says, "and they are they which testify of me." And what he said, "You search the Scriptures." I know you search the Scriptures, but they are the ones who testify. They speak of me. I don't read the Scriptures to see how to live. I read the Scriptures that I might know him who lives. And he might live in me. And him living in me ensures that I'll live the way I ought to live. I'm not just opening a page and say, "Well, I'm supposed to do this." No, no, no. That's just legalism. That's self-righteousness. But I tell you what, I couldn't get over this. He dig deep. That's sincerity, isn't it? That's diligence. That's diligence. He didn't take the Bible, close it on Sunday after the service, and then go put it in a corner and then pick it back up next week. He dig deep. He heard something in the Word. He heard something in the message, and he went home and he dig deep. deep in the Word of God. And laid the foundation of his faith, the foundation of his hope, upon that rock, Jesus Christ. And when the floods arose and streamed beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it founded upon a rock. Listen to verse 25. Now listen to me. God sends trials to prove profession or possession. Let's not complain about trials. They really prove whether we believe God or not. And those who do believe God, it just strengthens your faith. Now listen, he's going to send them. Listen. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house that was founded upon that rock, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Rain, trials sent from heaven. Where does rain come from? It comes from heaven. Trials sent from heaven. The floods came, earthly trials, daily trials came on this person. The winds blew, mysterious trials came, trials from within, depression, anxiety, unfounded fears came. Why do I feel like this? You ever get up doing like, you ever get up feeling the blues? Now they call it depression. You know, we call it the blues. You get up feeling just down? Mysterious trials, you know, it's just, Peter called them fiery trials. They just, like on Job, it just came out of nowhere. Job's sitting there one day, you know, the sun's shining, and he's one of the richest men in the land, and he's blessed, and his steps are buttered, and next thing you know, here comes a servant saying, all your children are dead. Then right behind him, all your sheep are gone. Then right behind him, all your camels are gone. Then right behind him, all your servants are gone. Just bam, bam, bam. The wind blew, mysterious trials. Things don't just happen. God sends them. And they prove faith. They prove our faith. And these all came up on this house, like it did Job. Satan said, give me Job. I'm going to paraphrase. Give me Job. I'll turn him just like I did Adam. He ain't no better than Adam. I'll turn him. Let me add him. You got a hedge about him. Just like there's a hedge about every one of God's children, every one of you who believe, there's a hedge about you. And Satan can't, nothing, no one can break that hedge. No arrow from Satan can penetrate that hedge. God has to allow, he has to allow a trial to come in. He has to allow Satan to touch you. He said you can't touch his life because your life is hid with Christ in God. You can't touch his life. But you can touch all that he has. He says, all right, you let me touch him. I'll turn him. And he didn't, did he? Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The house didn't fall. Because that house is built on the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. My hope of glory is Jesus Christ, him and him crucified. Christ as the Son of God in the flesh, living for me, dying for me, rising for me, seated for me, interceding for me, and coming to get me. That's my hope. My hope is not that I have straightened up. Because there ain't one of us that's straightened up enough. Not enough. We could straighten up a whole lot more, couldn't we? Right, we all ought to be locked up. At one time or another, I bet you we could. Unless you just live very self-righteously. You're one or the other. All my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it. That's it. If they had just said that, if they had said, Lord, you're the only hope we got. They didn't, Lord, we preached, we did this, we did that. Oh, this house fell not. It fell not because it's founded upon the rock Christ Jesus. But now listen, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. This man heard the same messenger, but not the message. Same doctrine, but not the person of Christ. Now listen, and let me say this, and hear what I'm saying. Don't think all these people standing here are Arminianism and Catholicism and all these other isms. There's some standing here who sat under the gospel. And they made a profession. And that's all it was. And Christ was never more than that. Never more than that. We are not saved by any ism, whether it's Arminianism, Catholicism, or Calvinism. We're not saved by that. We're saved by Jesus Christ alone. This man who built his house on the sand, he heard the gospel. He heard the same message. He built his house on shifting sand. His faith was not real. He trusted in his own righteousness instead of the righteousness of Christ. And many of these that he's speaking of, and I'd say the vast majority of them, are the false converts of the false preachers on the broad way that was spoken of earlier. Most of them are. He never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was not his life. And when the day of testing came, when the day of death came, He held to his profession all the way to the end, till the day of death. He spent his life in falsehood. But now listen, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it because it was total ruin. It washed away. The fall was great because he lost his soul. He lost his soul. Great because he was given light, but he refused to walk in it. And it's great because he took many with him. He took many with him. And listen, many were astonished at his teachings. You know, he gave the greatest warning at the end of his message. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his teaching. Never heard such a message. You don't hear this message. Very seldom. Very seldom, really. Very seldom. Truth is astonishing when you hear it. When you hear it, it's astonishing. He spoke to him with authority because he's the one who has all authority. He's the one who has the authority to give it. He's the king. And where the word of a king is, there's power. And this is why Peter said, make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to do this. Make your calling sure. Have you been called by grace? Has God called you? You know whether you've been called or not. If I called you, you'd answer me, wouldn't you? If I called your name, you'd know. You know if God's called you. You know. This is serious. Our souls are at stake. Let us always, always seek to know the Lord. Never assume anything. The Lord didn't give this, and I'm not preaching this morning to cast doubt on anything. Cast doubt. I tell you what, if your faith can be shaken, it needs to be. If it can be shaken, it needs to be. You take that old oak tree. That oak tree has withstood many storms, and it has been shaken in the wind. And you know what? Every time it does, it loosens the dirt up a little bit, and those roots go deeper. Those roots go deeper. Every time your faith is shaken, I guarantee you, if it's true faith, it'll go deeper. Deeper into Christ. And one day the wind of death will blow and you'll find out that you're able to stand and not fall. Our Lord doesn't give this to cause us to doubt, but to warn us. Warn us. Don't assume anything when it comes to your soul and salvation. Don't assume anything.